to Breaking In, episode 27, I think. Gonna try to make up a little bit for last week, thanks to Ribby McCrack Crack. We only did a 9-minute show last week. You're feeling a little bit better.
I am.
We are not recording in Long Beach this week. We are recording in the fabulous downtown Hollywood. Minutes from the Walk of Fame. We just had brunch with a manager friend of ours, and a couple of things that I thought were really interesting that came out of that conversation. We heard a couple of stories about some
writers
that have done some
her
stuff.
Her clients, writers.
But one of the things that I thought was kind of the most interesting motif was the being patient and how long things take and having to wait. Now, for the record, I don't think we've talked about this before, but we have a script. I have a script that's gone out, and we have a script that we wrote together that's gone out that we sent out to managers and agents back in early to mid-November, right before the holiday break. We've heard, I think we sent it to about 7 people. We've heard from one of them. And so we were sort of lamenting and talking about this at brunch, and she was like, I just had a client who pitched something, and 8 months later, they finally got back to us.
She has a friend that emailed her something that she's supposed to read in October. She hasn't got to it yet.
Right.
And it's a friend.
Right.
So it's nobody's dissing anybody. So
yeah, I thought it was really interesting to hold on to that idea of, again, I mean, this is something that we've gone on record about before, and we will continue to do so. Put your focus into something else while you're waiting, instead of pacing the floors and wearing out your carpet.
Write another script.
Get working on the next idea. Consistently stay
actually writing. And on that note, another interesting thing that's come up is the types of script you write. Throwaway scripts,
right.
DVDs, straight to DVD.
I think
nothing wrong with that. You're a first time writer. Nobody's going to put $4 million into you. So.
Right. It's not going to be a studio blockbuster.
Right.
Which, you know, I think we've gotten kind of a little bit. I think it's fair to say that I've been harsh on some of the pitch fest screenwriters who come up with the most absurd, retarded ideas that doesn't seem like a movie. I'm not necessarily retracting those statements, but I do see the benefit and, okay, well, let's do a straight to DVD horror thriller just to get your career started, just to get some street cred.
$10,000.
Yeah.
$15,000, whatever,
right,
to get to your next project, whatever.
To get in.
Right.
That's a fair comment. Now, obviously, when I made those statements, and I still stand by them, I don't want to be the straight to DVD sequel guy. I don't think anybody. Well, maybe there's people out there that do want to be that person.
I don't know. I don't think anybody aspires to be that.
But. No. I mean, that is like aspiring to middle management. Nobody aspires to be middle management.
Yes.
I don't know. So yes. Okay. So the idea of writing a throwaway script, where you're not necessarily, but when we say a throwaway script, we mean you don't give a fucking shit what happens to it.
Right. It's not your baby. You're not going to be all
broken-hearted. It's not precious. If you sell it to Hallmark and it gets rewritten by 14 people and it doesn't even look like what
your
script
10,000.
Was.
Cool.
Yeah, you got your check.
You got your name on something.
Right. So that concept of just getting a starter script out there and sort of.
And, you know, that's another point that Marilyn brought up. And while the odds sound insurmountable, she was talking about how many films that Lifetime actually makes.
Right.
So this is information that you need to know if you're going after something. Okay.
So she was saying Lifetime makes 14 movies a
12
year.
12
movies a
year.
And 4 of them are based on bestsellers.
Books.
Right.
So you only have the other movies to sell your shit if it's not a book.
They spend money on 8 original ideas.
What? Seriously, how many? Pick a studio, and tell me how many movies they came out with this year.
Right.
Is it 12 movies?
Oh, hell,
per
I
year?
Don't know.
No, it's probably not. It's that they're spending a lot of money on 1, 2, 3
sure.
movies a year.
Sure.
So, that's a lot, actually. So, if you think about Lifetime, mm-hmm. that your odds are this studio is going to make one movie a year. Lifetime is going to make 12.
Right.
Yes, you don't get four of them unless you get a book in, but that's pretty. I think that's better odds than selling to a studio.
Right. Agreed. So, kind of one of the things that we also wanted to talk about was
consulting.
Now, I
you
let's
go to that yet?
Yeah, let's show right. we're gonna actually do an expose on consulting.
Oh right, yes, I know. Yes,
and
you are
so,
right.
And you know what? I think that should be a good time to actually open it up to questions. If you have questions about what you should be getting out of consulting or anything, hit us up because we're gonna do kind of a special investigative journalistic look into
okay,
the world
serious,
of
please.
We're
it's
not
me,
gonna we're not gonna Geraldo
Stop.
It.
Yes.
Yay, 80s reference. Kids, those that are listening, Geraldo used to be a good big time talk show host.
And found the grave of
Al Capone. Al Capone's car.
Oh, almost.
Was Al Capone's vault. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Go.
Do you want to continue on the lunch story? Brunch
yeah,
story?
Sure. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Something else?
Yeah. She had great advice, mm-hmm. actually. So for her clients, she actually says that she would never put up with shit from her client.
Oh, yeah. The bugging.
Yeah, so because that was one of the first questions I asked, because that's what I hear all the time, is that your clients are saying, well, did you call this one? I think we should sell to this one. We should call. And she says, oh, no, I don't. I don't put up with that. And that's what she sounds like. Seriously, you wouldn't argue with her. If she said, no, honey, no.
Right.
You would shut up and
right.
not do that anymore. She's... I can see her being an amazing manager.
And we're actually...
She has great advice.
Yeah, and we're actually going to have her on the show.
Yes.
Part of this brunch was sort of negotiating when she can be on the show. So we're looking for late February, early March for her. And trust me, I've known her... Well, it's funny because we actually met her at your first Pitch Fest.
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I've maintained the friendship. You haven't seen her since because, mm-hmm. it's, you know... She lives in Hollywood. And
I'm sure she lied and said she remembered me, but...
Whatever.
you gotta say that.
So, yeah, I mean, I wanted Marilyn on the podcast, and she was actually somebody who was very pro-podcast a year ago when I was talking
yes.
about it. So...
Oh, and she... And, of course, true to any manager, she blew it up into, have a panel! And have people come down to Long Beach and do a panel! And we'll tell them things about the business! And
right.
And her advice is very specific, by the way. She does not give general advice.
No.
It's all very, very specific.
Right. So, which... Spoiler alert, we're actually considering that. So,
we are.
So,
because it's a great idea.
It's a great idea. So look for that in the future. I kind of want to, I don't want to jinx things, but I do kind of want to nerd out about her suggestion. Because I think it's really funny because I don't think it'll ever happen. Can we talk about it?
Sure, I think so. You want to hear the funny thing? Well, let me just tell you one of my impressions that I got that kind of just dawned on me.
Mm-hmm.
That she's like, you know, you could charge this because of the venue and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, you know, you'd get most of it. Meaning we're supposed to pay them.
Right.
Anybody who comes to
yeah,
do this for us.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, right. No, you're getting drinks. I want, if I had realized, that's what I would have said to her, but.
Right.
Yeah, no.
So, do you want to nerd out about, should we say, or should we keep that?
No, well, we haven't even, it's not even, it's just ideas. We don't even know exactly what we're going to do, but.
No, I'm talking, no, I'm moving past
oh,
the
shit,
panel.
Where are you?
I'm with the guest that she suggested. I kind of want to nerd out about it.
You want to nerd out?
I kind of want to nerd out about it.
Because you know what? We don't even care if we never get him, because I'm pretty sure I'd shit if we ever did get him.
But. Yeah. Okay, so yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, which is, it's totally gauche to do, and it's totally going to jinx it to make sure that it never well, happens.
This is totally going to jinx it, but we
but,
don't care.
But it's still funny nonetheless. So she was going through her client list of people who
would we want them on the show?
Right, and so she drops like fucking Michael Dorn's name, which nerd alert out there. Yeah. If you don't know, played Worf on Star Trek: The Next Generation. Not all,
so she says his name. She says, "I don't know. Are you guys Star Trek fans?" And we're like,
kinda. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a uniform or anything.
No, but I know who he is. Thank you.
I do watch the shit a little bit.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So, we're going to try to get Michael Dorn on the show.
And he's like he's big shit.
Yeah, that kind of, that might actually.
He owns like 9 planes and.
Yeah, oh, he's a huge, you know, not to throw a shout out to other, our peers, but. His interview on the Nerdist podcast is fantastic, and I've listened to it. And the only problem we have is
that I need to get a new house before I can't invite him to.
And also, he just landed a role. He's going to play a recurring role on Castle. Yep. We're huge Castle fans.
Yep. Just so, found out.
Right. We didn't even know about that. There's some. I'm sure it's okay that we just said that. It's got
to
be news.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Anybody who knows him that's actually going to talk to him, he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to do our podcast later. Don't tell
him. We're going to try. But that is some
don't tell
super nerd legitimacy.
Yep. It's going to happen.
Speaking of people that we want to get on the show, we are going to be cutting the show a little bit short today because... We have another friend.
Our next person. We
have a Hollywood day booked today where we met with a manager friend this morning, and we have a writer friend that we're meeting for dinner in about a half hour.
Shut up.
So Alana is a longtime writer friend, again, who I met at a pitch fest. Her story is absolutely fucking amazing, and she's from New York, and she's only in town for a couple of days, and she is, well, you know what, I'm gonna call her out. She's fucking scaredy cat. She doesn't think she's worthy of coming on the show, and the funny thing is that when I thought about putting this show together, she is literally the first person I thought of, because I know her story, and she actually found success through a pitch fest and got her career started through a pitch fest. And given the fact that we talk about it...
goes against everything we say, but she did it.
Yeah, exactly. And if there's one story that all of you guys need to hear...
Which will pretty much send you into tailspin going to every fucking pitch fest you can find.
It's hers. And and so we have to go to dinner and we're going to convince her. And yes, we might not get her this trip, but we'll get her the next trip, which is God knows when, because we haven't even seen her in a year and a half. So
yeah, we're going to have to Skype it. She's getting too big. She's getting too big. She's not going to be able to have time.
Well, no. If the bigger she gets, the more to L.A. she comes for meetings.
So. And doesn't have time.
Okay. Touche.
Yeah.
Another nerd out. So we're going to kind of have fun. We're meeting Alana at Chateau Marmont, which is, for those of you who don't know, is a very famous Hollywood hotel on the Sunset Strip. It's where Lindsay Lohan used to live and then got banned because she owes $50,000, and now she's...
We heard she's back.
Yeah. So there might be some A-list sightings, and I think there might be a little bit of live tweeting going on while we're there.
Ooh, that'd be fine. What do you think of that?
So, yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. And we are going to talk her into doing the show, basically. Yes. That's the mission.
Right. Yes.
We're wining and dining.
Yeah, so that's our Sunday. All for you, people. All for you.
Okay, mostly for us.
Yeah, no.
Don't lie.
Everything we do is for you. I think that there's a couple of other things that I kind of want to get into very quickly. You know, I've been teaching my course online. And we're also in the process of writing two different scripts because we are keeping busy while we wait for people to
answer something.
Yes. Couple of things that have sort of just come up. I think there's a lot of things that the rookie mistakes and getting out of your own head. One of the student that I'm teaching right now has a very unique personality. And what I have found from talking to her is that her personality bleeds onto the page. When she tells a story, she's extremely repetitious in a seconds. You know,
in the same paragraph.
Instead of saying, she'll repeat the last sentence in order
that's
to
her,
while she's waiting figure out the next thing to say. And what happens is that mental process comes down on the page because you can actually see her repeat herself sentence after sentence after sentence.
Yeah.
Now, this has been an issue that's come up with you and I because mm-hmm. my personality bleeds onto the page. I'm very long-winded. I get into a lot of details when I'm telling stories in public, which I started thinking about are almost in script format. I mean, it's always detail-oriented, and yeah, maybe when you're telling an anecdote, you don't need that level of detail. So the idea of kind of recognizing the things that you do, and of course your writing is going to reflect your personality, recognizing some of the things that you do and finding it in your writing and making sure that doesn't happen.
Because your characters have to be their own characters.
Exactly.
All of your characters can't be you. Nothing annoys me more when I see two characters use the same word that nobody uses ever.
Right.
But literally, you just had these two characters, completely different characters, who don't even know each other.
Same. Right.
They're not living on their own. They're you.
And that's actually a really good point of bringing in characters. So let's transition this into the conversation of having your character sound differently. I know it's hard to do, but when you're creating a script and you're creating all of these characters, you obviously you're the main source of material,
right?
So they can't all sound like you.
No, because you know many people in your life. You don't. They don't have to be you.
And that's the thing of drawing off of the people that are around you to add quirks or things. And so when you're creating characters, it's important to, when you're fucking out in life, observing things that people do.
Seriously, how many characters quirks do you see every day that you can just slap into one of your books?
Okay, so funny anecdote. We were at brunch yesterday and this guy walks in and everything about him screamed douche. There was nothing about him that was like, I'm a normal person.
He was straight out of a script.
Right.
Straight out of a script.
And starts hitting on the waitress, who we go there a lot, obviously, for this show. So we know all of the waitresses. So, of course, we had a conversation with them afterwards. And inability to recognize the fact that he was a douche. Inability to recognize the fact that he was creeping these girls out to, like, no end by hitting on them.
But they all reacted giggling, which is funny, because normally you would put another character going, are you serious?
Serious, right.
Fuck you. And all these girls were giggling about his jokes.
You were so funny.
And they were so funny.
But it was such sarcasm. There was sarcasm behind those comments. But, of course, he didn't see it because he... So my point being is that here we are sitting there observing this interaction, and we have a backstory for him, and we know what the girls are doing, and we know the voice.
We Googled him. We literally know his whole background now, because that's how interesting it was.
Right.
He could totally be a character in a screenplay. Easy.
Right. So just the idea of, I think when it comes to creating characters, you definitely have to... The only way to get that experience is to actually live life and go out and pay attention when you're out. We're about to go to one of Hollywood's many legendary hotspots. Do you think we're going to be focused on our conversation?
Solely? No. We're going to have a story for everybody in the place. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
And I will be very disappointed and let down if we don't go. I don't even care if it's fucking Lindsay Lohan getting drunk at the bar. If it's a fucked up tourist from Iowa who's making an ass out of themselves because they don't know.
In the middle of Chateau Lamar.
Yeah, that's one. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
It's paying attention and observing and having that life experience in order to put it down on paper and create original characters. Obviously not original because you're taking traits off of people, but that's how you get three-dimensional characters and bleeding life into them and so on and so forth.
Think about the very hard thing to do. The one character you're supposed to care about.
Right.
Where you're going to be very sad if something happens to them. But what do you do to make you care? Why should people care about them? You have to meet people during your life where you're like, I just want to take this person and take care of them.
You know what? That's actually interesting that you bring that up because I had somebody mention that. That was a note in one of my scripts that they didn't feel like they really cared enough about the main character in the first 15 pages and to give him something. And of course it was a dumb note and he knew it was a dumb note when he said it, but it's like, give him a dog. Now, I'm not telling you to actually give him a dog, but it's that something, where there's...
Because if he dies, who's going to take care of the dog? You need to care that he's going to die.
Right. So, there, obviously, vague example, but it's giving the audience to want to root for that person.
Whoever they may be, bad guy or good guy.
Exactly. Whatever you're...
Yep.
Whatever you're going after. Okay, so it's time. We gotta go. I know. Sorry, but we're living the Hollywood life. We got people to see, things to do.
People to do.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Next week is... Next week's fucking Super Bowl Sunday, I think.
Yeah, nobody's gonna talk to us.
Yes. But,
I gotta call Josh, too.
Oh, yeah, you need... Yes, okay. Josh. So, but just some kind of business that's coming up. We have the Final Draft Screenwriting Awards on the 7th that we've gotten invited to. We're obviously going to talk about that afterwards. That's going to be exciting. Our first award show. Mm-hmm. Back in... Fuck, I think it was October, we sat down with Alejandro... When he was here, he couldn't be there with his partner Johnny. We're in the process of working with Johnny. He's probably going to come second weekend in February. We got Marilyn scheduled end of February, so we got people coming up. There's things coming
with very good information.
With lots of good information,
not just us babbling,
right? And a couple of people we're going to have back on the show just to because I want to.
Just cause. We want to have breakfast with them.
Right. And why should we deny ourselves that?
That's true.
Okay, so for this week, breaking in, I'm Manny.
Cheryl.
Till next week.
Peace out.